Welcome to the Modern Miss Mason podcast. My name is Leah Bowden, longtime student of Charlotte Mason's work and practitioner of her methods. I'd love to help you find the fun and the freedom in her philosophy. My first opportunity to be a presenter at one of the Wild and Free conferences was in September 2017, and it was in Franklin, Tennessee. Now, the United States was not new to me. I had travelled extensively around the States and lived in Missouri for a year, but Tennessee was new, Nashville was new to me, Franklin was especially cute and new, and the Wild and Free conference, being there in person, was new. I'd been writing for the bundles for a while and connecting with you all online, and just was so thrilled to be able to be there in person. My keynote was on the opening night, I do believe, and I started off by quoting from The Secret Garden, the book, and using a strong authentic Yorkshire dialect. If you are on the members site, you can go back and listen to that talk, even if it's just for the opening part. You can hear me doing my traditional Yorkshire accent. I then went on to talk and share passionately about education and Charlotte Mason. It was a wonderful experience, and as I got off the stage, many of you greeted me and encouraged me and asked questions and shared your heart, and I was able to just to spend precious moments with each person. And as these people were gathered, I saw at the back this beautiful dark-haired Californian lady with a baby in her arms was waiting, and I recognized her face from Instagram. And she patiently waited and greeted me with a huge hug, and we realised, oh yeah, we know each other from the Instagram squares. And the first thing she said to me was, "Charlotte would have been proud." And I immediately broke down into tears. I think the overwhelm of what had just happened and the experience of being there and speaking on a stage in front of 1,000 women and being able to communicate passion and truth and beauty. But not just that, but be able to connect with kindred spirits, people who knew and understood and were living what I was talking about, was an emotional experience. And I think at that moment, with those words, I broke. We don't gather and find an affinity with each other around box curriculum or tick lists, schedules, or even book lists. We gather and find an affinity with each other, which may sometimes lead us to hugging and weeping around belief, around a philosophy maybe that has brought us into a place of freedom in motherhood and childhood and education. Within the Charlotte Mason philosophy, so many of us have finally been able to breathe this sigh of relief that we finally believe that our children are whole persons worthy of sharing their voice with the world through what they hear and see and experience. Throughout the Charlotte Mason community across the world, there's so much variance on what and how we apply and practice Charlotte Mason's philosophy and methodology in our homes. But we all seem to agree on the impact it has on motherhood, childhood, and education. Some time ago, I asked the question across my social media, why do you love the Charlotte Mason philosophy? And these are some of the things that you said. I love that it's a philosophy, not a curriculum, and that it is filled with awe and wonder, spreading a feast of beautiful living books, wandering wild and free during nature study. And creative artists are some of my favourite ideas I've taken away, along with that each of my children is their own born person. I love how I'm cultivating a lifelong love of learning and feel freedom in doing so. I love that my kids have time to explore their own interests. I love the amount of reading that is encouraged. Books, 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 give me all the books. Short, varied lessons, living books, spreading the feast, all education is self-education and equipping lifelong learners. My favourite thing about Charlotte Mason is her unwavering belief in the child as a person deserving a feast of truth, goodness and beauty. The balance of honouring the child as a born person and God-given role of intentional mothering she brings to all the things. I love the idea of laying a feast of ideas before them. I like the concept of slowing down and soaking in what we're learning rather than rushing through the subjects and missing the beauty. I love the nature study element of a Charlotte Mason philosophy, but also the idea of instilling good habits for children from the beginning. Today I want to invite you to come and gather around the table, to pull up a chair, and let's delve in to what Charlotte Mason really meant when she talked about a feast of education. From The Philosophy of Education by Charlotte Mason. I have said much of history and science, but mathematics, a mountainous land which pays the climber, makes its appeal to mind, and good teachers know that they may not drown their teaching in verbiage. As for literature, to introduce children to literature is to install them in a very rich and glorious kingdom, to bring a continual holiday to their doors, to lay before them a feast exquisitely served. But they must learn to know literature by being familiar with it from the very first. A child's intercourse must always be with good books, the best that we can find. Of course, we have always known that this is the right thing for children in cultivated homes. But what about those in whose dwellings books are little known?
You have this experience that feels intimate, but it's not intimidating. It's more approachable, and that's why I really enjoy it, because it's not something that's, if I were to go somewhere, even to a grocery store or supermarket and see that, I probably would be intimidated to order it or buy it. But then when it's brought to me and it's placed before me and it's something that I've been invited into to try, then I'm more willing to maybe experience that or go there.
That was the voice of my dear friend, Kyle Campbell. She's a master photographer, creator, artist, and curator of delicacies that she gathers together on wooden boards called grazing boards. We'll be hearing more from Kyle later. The Japanese call it bento, the Spanish tapas, the Venetians enjoy cicchetti, and well, we all love a good French charcuterie board, don't we? And we have in turn created the every party necessity, a grazing table. The art of slowly enjoying a variety of food flavours, colours and textures is a rich celebration in every culture. All through Charlotte Mason's work and instruction, she emphasised short lessons but also a generous feast. Coming from a traditional educational background, we can struggle to marry these two concepts. So this is how I've grown to understand it. Learning days are a delectable dish of tasty morsels, enough to evoke great thought and a lingering taste in their mouths. As our children grow older, the selection gets bigger. Interesting delicacies from diverse parts of the world, history, science and culture. They may linger at the table for longer, but the principle remains. Each bite intentionally placed to be enjoyed, savoured, and remembered. I want you to listen to this soundbite with Kyle and not just hear it as it is, which is a narrative on an experience with food, but I want you to hear it and layer it on your understanding of the Feast of Education.
Over the years, one of my favorite things, and I learned this really was living in Italy, was bringing people together and lingering over a meal. And really, for me, this idea of bringing food together was more than just, oh, this will be fun. But as an artist, with my background having grown up as an artist and evolved, was to bring together the different foods. But then I got excited to introduce those to people. So I would bring this experience back home with me to the States from having spent time whether it was living overseas, traveling for a period of time, and then I'd come home and I was excited to share this with my friends who didn't have that opportunity to travel. And so I would have these big dinner parties and I would put out a big feast and I would cook for lots of hours. And then I decided that rather than spend hours cooking these several course meals, that putting together these food boards, the charcuterie and the cheeses, was a way to put something together that was easy, but also still an experience. And what I loved most about it was that it was introducing people to new flavors, and it was inviting them into that process where they got to choose the different combinations. And again, with that art background, I loved the idea of being able to bring together colors and textures and flavors and layers, and then putting that out on a table. And then you're just sitting together, gathered, and people are trying different things and getting excited about it. You kind of see their eyes get big at the experience of something new. And there's no real wrong way to go about it. And so I think probably my favorite experience of this was actually taking my husband to Paris for the first time. And we went to this little wine bar in the 10th arrondissement and sat for hours with charcuterie and wine. And he was so excited to try these different flavors. And he was like a little kid. And so that idea never goes away as we get older. And I think keeping that curiosity is really important.
It's no wonder, is it, that Charlotte Mason used the analogy of food consistently throughout her writing. This idea of this feast of education thrills us. It's not dry and boring and same. It is this exciting endeavor to bring to the table ideas and colors and textures from all cultures and places around the world and experiences through history for our children to experience. This idea of the Feast of Education not only helps us to understand what we can bring as a form of a lesson or a reading, but it also helps us to understand this concept of masterly inactivity, this idea of standing back and leaving the child alone. I want you to imagine cooking a meal and then laying out each dish on a beautifully set table. You invite each member to sit around the table, and as they get comfortable, you presently begin to spoon each dish into their mouths, describing what each flavour is, what the texture is like, how the taste lingers or melts away, and you begin to describe how it will make them feel afterwards and decide for them whether they will like it or not. At first, it seems like comfort, but soon it feels like control. This image can depict what a traditional educational model may look like, an outside-in experience, spoon-feeding the soul-empty facts that linger in the mouth but not in the mind. Now I want you to imagine preparing a meal with your family. The table is laid out in a beautiful, welcoming way. You lay out the dishes one by one in the middle of the table. You invite your family to join you as you quietly sit at the head of the table. Everyone sits down. You throw a napkin on your knee and say, Dig in, guys, enjoy, and let me know what you think. The Charlotte Mason philosophy is an inside-out education. The philosophy challenges how we view a child. It beckons us to believe that they are already whole. Our job is to then facilitate variety and quality of study through books, experiences and activities, whilst leaving room for inside-out processing, narration, rather than outside-in spoon-feeding. It's time to trust, to believe the best of your children, to set the atmosphere to the correct temperature, lay out, read and engage with the best living books and resources chosen by you, hear their response and stand back and watch the philosophy in motion. So here it is in a nutshell. When Charlotte Mason was trying to help us understand how we approach learning and how we approach delivering this to our children, she described it as this feast of education. And the feast isn't an overwhelming binge fest where everything is put out at once. And that can be quite confusing for some people. Like, how can I possibly do every subject all the time with my six-year-old? Well, that's not the picture she's trying to paint here. As Carl described the charcuterie and the grazing board and the small amounts of different flavours and textures and colours that are brought to the table, in the same way we slowly bring small things, short lessons, in small doses. So you don't have to introduce everything at once. When I first started my journey with Charlotte Mason, as I was learning and grasping the philosophy for myself, I slowly introduced concepts and subjects over a process of a period of months and years. I started with nature study and then introduced some daily poetry and then started to introduce some copy work and then found interest in some biographies, and slowly you're bringing a new thing to the table. I think we often can think of this feast and imagine a Tudor banquet of some knight or some king gnawing away with saliva coming down his face on some turkey leg, but it's a delicate, delectable feast that we get to introduce to our children over a period of time that is suitable for their age and their stage. So I hope this has helped you grasp this beautiful idea that we get the privilege of creating this atmosphere, of laying this feast so that our children can connect and assimilate with what's in front of them, can then become a part of them for life. I just want to take a moment to say a huge thank you to everyone who has given the podcast a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and left a review. As well as it being super encouraging for me and really lovely to read, it kind of acts like an algorithm booster. When you tap those 5 stars and leave a comment, it helps other homeschooling parents find the podcast if they type in Charlotte Mason or home education or homeschooling. So if you want to help other parents find their freedom with the Charlotte Mason philosophy, one of the things you can do is go over and tap those 5 stars and leave a review, just like Beck Pinkerton did. And she said, one to listen to if you're a homeschooling parent, or even if you're not, like me, but find yourself at home with your kids in a pandemic and know you appreciate Charlotte Mason's ideas. A lovely podcast which will bring you a lot of joy to listen to and some good ideas too. To see us out today, because I know you all love a little bit of history, we have our last special segment from Kyle and a poem from Sienna.
So charcuterie has been around since the Roman times, when the soldiers were trying to figure out how to take meat with them longer distance, they began to figure out ways to preserve it. And so that's where it was first invented, but it was really the French in the 15th century that took it to a whole new level, and they began to create these specifically cured pork butchers. And that's where the kind of evolved flavors of charcuterie, where they started to experiment with different ways of preserving meats, and but it always had to be pork. And so if you go to a restaurant and you see the word charcuterie on a menu, it's going to refer to cured pork meats.
Rain by Robert Louis Stevenson. The rain is falling all around. It falls on fields and tree. It rains on the umbrellas here and on the ships at sea.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Miss Mason podcast. If you loved it, share it with a friend, and you can leave us a great review. And of course, we'll be back here next week. Before then, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram on Modern Miss Mason, or you can go over to my website on modernmissmason.com.